All right, we shall continue as we move forward. Take the document, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity from Manifestation in Time. Everyone should have one. If you don't, there are some in the bank. See that everyone has one. Last week, we concluded the section, All Possibilities Were Actualized in God's Eternal Decree. Today, we move into the section, page 21, The Scripture Cognitive Aspects of Probabilities. Everybody repeat after me. The scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Repeat it again. The scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Ellen Nicholson is our designated reader. In conjunction to this, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4:4-1. I think before we... I feel compelled, before we move forward in this section, to go back and say a few things about possibilities, amen. The clock always seems to run out on us. Again, possibilities, when we're talking about possibilities, we should be always referring to those things that have been enabled. What is possible is what has been enabled. And so our focus should always be on away from the mental pole of human thinking, or using human reasoning as the mental pole, or that which is used as a standard for assessing things. Because the mental or conceptual pole, human experiences are not capacitated to apprehend eternal objects as possibilities. Amen. Eternal objects are those things that are. They are because they're existing. They exist because God has decreed them. Yes. And so when we talk about possibilities, amen, it should always be in the sense of eternal entities. What is an eternal entity? It is, again, that which is thoroughly established. Amen. And so when we think about actual occasions, amen, we should think about eternal or actual entities as being the formulation of such. And manifestation must follow the decree. Amen. It can't happen unless God has decreed it. You can wish for it, you can pray, you can fast, you can cry, you can die. That thing only manifests according to what God has decreed. And God called that thing long before he created time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, Lord.
For he actualized all things by and in his decree in eternities. So what we view as human possibilities are for the most part abstracted from eternal actualities. And we entertain them solely as possibilities in the light of chance. What could be, or what we hope to be. Amen. But such only abide as possibilities for uncharted actualization, and such possibilities, though, should never be entertained as fully actualized. And of course, we don't, but some ministries say if you visualize it, you can bring it to pass.
Right.
The entertainment of apprehension of forms and shapes. Amen. As we perceive them are never to be focused in the sense that such has been shaped outside of what God, my God, originated and thought. That thing exists, it is because God has designed it. Somebody said, well, I had an accident yesterday.
Bring it out.
God didn't design that. Where did it come from then?
That's it.
The forms and the incidents that produce must be equated to what God planned and decreed. In other words, these are eternal objects manifested, are being manifested as you see them and I see them. So that is really what formed the mental aspect of human occasions. In such occasions, the mental conception pole of men, of what we think and what we visualize and what we, from a conception in, somehow we focus on and look for that thing, you know, and we say, hey, if I think on it hard enough, I bring it into. Of course, that's an oxymoron, because at the same time, somebody says something negative, we say, oh, don't think about, don't bring that up, don't.
Right,
you see,
right.
You may, you know.
Right.
You can think what you want to think.
Yeah, come on.
That's it.
Now, if he said, don't say it because it's not a case of fact, then that's one thing. But to say don't say it because we don't want it to become a fact is quite another.
That's right.
Because your saying it won't bring it into being.
No way. That's it.
Because if that's the case, somebody in here this morning need to worship to think on and talk up a few dollars to help us out around here. If that's the way it works.
Amen. Amen.
Oh my God. So what is given in visions is not that which has in a determinant input. Humanly distinctive, and this is where we left off last week, humanly distinctive contribution ground multiples of occasions at the top of page 21. In manifestation of experiences macerating as actual entities in testimony solely of the physical pole, God's mental conceptual pole of vertical, heavenly vantage point envisionments of the whole range of possibilities are determinatively incorporated in his actualization of eternal objects. What are we saying now? Amen. Oh my God. We got to follow the course of God having already brought to pass that which is to be, just waiting to be expelled in manifestation. In other words, that thing, whatever it is, it already exists. It just hasn't shown up on the scene for in as far as revelation is concerned.
Yes.
But it's whatever it is, it is. God has already called somebody to it. Then why should I pray? Why should I pray if God is already... Your prayer is part of it.
Amen.
Your prayer is part of the decree. Mm-hmm. Our petition. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that because he has decreed that we petition, that he's going to give us everything that we petition for.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, how does that sound? Depraved human minds petitioning for things, and God brings it to pass because a depraved human thought pattern brought the subject up.
Oh, Jesus.
Just think about that. No. No. That's why the scripture said we do, speaking of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not even talking about those folk out there.
Nope.
We do not know, even know, how to pray or what to pray for.
Right.
And so what does he do? He overrules the privity and the spirit comes in.
Amen.
Oh my God, y'all don't hear me this morning.
Yeah.
And he intervenes on our behalf so that the prayer will align with the eternal object of what is. Because the Spirit knows that we don't.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. Oh, God, help his people. Because many of us are a basket case.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because from day to day,
come on, bring it out,
we go from one frustration to
come
another.
Come on.
I'm frustrated because there's something that I want and I'm not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm frustrated because it was bad yesterday, but it's worse today.
Oh,
it looks like it's going to get worse than tomorrow.
Amen.
So I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm unhappy.
Unhappy.
Because the mental pole of depravity is telling me that life consists in what's around me rather than what the scripture says, that your life transcends what's around you.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's it. Amen.
Make it plain. Hallelujah.
Thank God. Yes.
And in this,
thank God,
we're thoroughly confounded. Frustrated. God's people, unhappy campers. The mankind's horizontal, earthly, vanished point envisionment of daily human experiences entertain only a very small selection of eternal objects, if any. Most of us don't get up in the morning thinking about the fact that we're in the body of Christ.
Woo!
No, we don't. It's for what I'm going to do today. And yeah, you should think about what you're going to do today, amen. But even more in the sense of what you're going to do, amen, your focus should always be on who you are in Christ, because the reality of it is that you are more of who you are in Christ than you are in these bodies. Because who you are in these bodies is temporary, but who you are in Christ is eternal.
That's
right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know Paul sounds crazy when he said, for me to live is Christ. Because for us to live is our jobs and our homes, and y'all don't hear me this morning. And these things are important. Somebody always accused me of saying that this is not what we're, the key is the word priority. He says the things we're not looking at are prioritizing, are dependent upon the things that are seen, but the things that are seen.
Yeah.
Why? Because the things that are seen are temporary.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
That transcends what's around you is eternal. Now I know that this kind of preaching is not going to get too many people excited. But it's as long as it's in our contract.
As long as
it is there for us to digest. Oh my God. And to grow. And mature.
Yes.
And developing.
Yes.
In development. Then that's what we're going to preach. If we don't preach this, we could come out here, we could tell a story this morning, and we could talk about, one of the old stories in the Bible. Someone got in trouble and then God delivered them, and could rap back and, people were running up and down the aisle and so forth and so on. I'm not saying those stories have no value. That's not what we're saying. But when you look at those things, you got to look at them from the eternal aspect of a bird's eye view of looking at the big picture.
Big picture. Yeah.
Everybody say eternal objects.
Eternal objects.
Oh my God.
God
has ordained them in such a way that they are available as relevant possibilities for actual occasions. And so, I don't know what God has envisioned. Amen. Now, it's not God's will for you to know everything. Some things He let us know, but many things because, amen, this walk is a walk of faith.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
We won't see our way through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's your agenda. That's not God's agenda.
That's right. We
don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I feel secure if I know. Yeah. No. You know why that doesn't work? Because your eyes and my eyes can only see the physicality and the forms and the shapes of things that are being manifested. That's not the real deal. The real deal, amen, is what God has envisioned, amen, and declared, amen, and decreed. And these are the actual entities that exist in as eternal objects. And we all know what they are. And this is what trust in God and believe in God and stretch it out on God is all about.
Amen.
Thank God.
Whether you like it or not,
come on.
That's God's agenda. And that's the agenda you're going to follow.
Amen.
Because that's the way it is.
Amen.
Some things He has allowed us to know through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
But I think He has allowed us to know enough.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Those that He foreknew, He did what? He foreordained or predestined. And those that He foreordained, He did what? He called. And those that He called, He did what? He justified. Amen. And those that He justified, He glorified. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That's not enough, though, I guess.
No,
not enough.
Oh, Jesus.
I got to know whether I'm going to be able to pay my bills.
Yeah.
Or not.
Glory to God.
Not going to happen, people. It's not, it's not. I got to know whether my health is going to hold up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's not God's plan and will. Amen. That's not how God gets His glory.
Yes.
If you walk by sight, amen, God doesn't get in the glory. But oh, if you walk by faith,
hallelujah.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. This envisionment constitute the mental conceptual pole of God.
Yes, Lord.
Which is eternal.
Yes.
Everybody say eternal.
Eternal.
Because it's eternal, it's unchanging.
Right.
Yeah. Hence, reality demands the term primordial. Everybody say primordial.
Primordial.
That is, that which is existing in or persisting from the beginning, which resides exclusively in the mental pole of God, in his inherent capacity. This is, in this sense, we say all things or all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. Now we move into the section, the scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Amen. Everybody with me say amen.
Amen.
Now, there are some terminologies that we will pass out section two, and this is the last section of part one. We pass out part two. We will expand our glossary of definitions. One of the terms we'll be using, and we stop and we go through our definitions. Some say, well, why don't you just use the other terms? Well, you know, if we learn the term, then when we hear it out there somewhere, we know what's being said. Amen. This is not a foreign language. These are words that, no, really, these are words that I turn on CNN and MNBC and Fox News, and I turn on ABC, and I turn on the news, you know, and these terms are being used.
Yep.
And I say, why can't I use them? Mm-hmm. Why can't we use the term? Why can't we learn? Huh? Learning has never hurt anybody, has it?
Man.
No. So we have some terms here, and we'll be using them. First one is nascent. Everybody said nascent. It speaks of those things that are just coming into existence, are recently come into existence. And then when we say nothing is nascent, we're saying nothing has recently come into existence, and there's nothing left to come into existence.
Right.
Oh, there's plenty left to be manifested.
Come on.
but there's nothing left to come into existence. Amen. Another term, incessant. Everybody say incessant. That conveys those things that continue without interruption. Incessant. You may hear the newsman talking about incessant rain. Well, he's not really using that in the purest sense of the word, because sooner or later it stops raining, doesn't it?
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the automobile industry, we hear the word hybrid. Hybrid. Everybody say hybrid.
Hybrid.
You know the hybrid engine. It uses both what?
Gas
and what?
Alternative
fuel. Electricity. Amen. you all better open your ears. If you're like me, I'm tired of paying those prices at the gas for. So let's get with that word.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. Everybody said get hybrid.
Hybrid.
Amen. Except salvation doesn't work that way.
Come on.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You don't take the eternal work to God and mix it and intermediately utilize the works of men and get the effect of salvation.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So it's not hybrid in that sense.
Uh-huh.
Oh no. Huh? You don't take works and faith and mix it together.
No.
You take one or the other. This is why we have fought the doctrine of synergism so much here.
Synergism.
You know, synergism. God and man working together. You do your part. You know, they tell us that you make one step, God make two. You know, so God made two because you made one. You see, no, it don't work that way. Huh? Your salvation, your relationship with God has really nothing depending upon your input.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So when we utilize these terms, amen, this is the things we're talking about. Amen. And so you will hear some terminology, and as we get a chance to, as we think of it when we're writing, we are careful to maybe in parentheses put the meaning right there. Amen. But sometimes we don't. But here is one: interminable. Everybody say interminable.
Interminable.
That is that which is incapable of being terminated.
Come on with
it. Oh my God, huh?
Come on with it.
That's hard for us to envision, because the things that we're, everything that we are, that the physical eyes look at, amen, inevitably, that's physicality, and the end of it is cessation, a coming to a halt, amen. But oh, hallelujah, this is why we look at the things that are unseen, because they're incapable being terminated, unending. So when we use that word, amen, we're talking about things that have no limit and cannot be terminated. Amen. So these are some of them. And so we shall all coalesce together in the doctrine of eternal objects and eternal things. Eternality. All right? And if there are any others, as you read them, look to me. You know what? It doesn't hurt to say, well, I don't know what they mean. Take a dictionary. Mm-hmm. Look it up.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
The scripture cognitive aspects of probabilities. Many have referred to the occurrences that are manifested in the time capsule as probabilities, which are classified as events or circumstances that are probable or most likely to occur. In scientific terminology, probabilities are defined as the ratio of the number of outcomes. And I see we have to go through this kind of slow. In an exhaustive set of equally likely outcomes that produced a given event to the total number of possible outcomes, or simply stated, what we're saying here is the chance that a given event will occur. Probability. Of course, that's anthropomorphic terminology. Because as we dealt some time ago, the word chance, what about the word chance? What did we say about the word chance?
That's not in action.
That there's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as chance. If things are eternal objects, then in the sense of a chance of what might be, you know, it's like the jury is out. It may go either way. That's what we said, chance. It could go anyway. There's no such a thing as it going anyway. It's going to go the way that God has decreed it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Man.
This is why we see in the scriptures, when it looked like somebody's going to die, God said, live. What happened?
Live. Right, amen.
Man.
And some people thought they were going to live, and they died.
That's right, amen.
So now we're confused, aren't we? We're confused. What will likely occur? So, simply put, it is not like the equation, the essence and ingression of eternal objects upsets this equation.
All right, now.
The study of probabilities engender the logical relation between statements such that evidence confirming one confirms the other to some degree. Now, I know we're going to stop and take some time here.
Amen.
But it's important.
Amen.
Oh my God, it's important. Somebody's laying awake all night long worried about something.
Mm-hmm.
What is the possibility of this? What's the possibility, or what's the probability, rather, of me keeping my job? Or losing it.
Mm-hmm.
Paying my bills or getting my utilities cut off.
Preach it. Yeah. Come on.
Keeping my health or coming down with some disease.
Yes,
man.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What is likely to occur?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all listen to me this morning.
Because
if you learn this, then your life is not a dredge and a drug. My kids acting up, they're acting crazy. What's the chance, or what's the probability of them straightening out? You see, when we pray and we petition God, it's always be in the sense that we understand the essence of eternal objects,
mm-hmm.
of that which will be, already is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we petition God for something,
mm-hmm.
it should always be on the basis of, Lord, your will is done. No, not let it be done.
Right.
It's done. And this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us.
Amen.
Concerning those things out there that are bugging you, bothering you,
yes.
amen, driving you nuts and batty.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because you just can't seem to get a handle on things.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever told you that you were in the driver's seat?
I hear you.
How many of us would want to be up there at a 747 and we sitting in the pilot seat? I wouldn't. So what makes us think, and this is what makes us nervous too.
Yes.
That's why we're so nervous.
Amen.
And shaky
right.
about life.
Right. Right.
Because we think that we're up in the driver's seat.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What did Greyhound say? Sit back, take the bus and do what? The driving us. God's the pilot of your life.
Yeah.
He's the pilot and the co-pilot and the navigator. Amen. Oh, we'll just go along for the ride.
I hear you.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen. Yes.
And every bump that you come across, amen, is a design bump.
Yeah.
All the turbulences of life are designed.
Man.
They're decreed.
Yes.
Man.
If you lose your job because, amen, it was decreed and designed for you to lose your job.
Man.
Otherwise, there's somebody in the driver's seat. Now we say, well, it's not God, it's not me either, but that is. Now we got a plane floating through the sky and nobody.
Amen.
Man.
You see, we think we're driving, and things get out of control. We say, "Well, I'm not driving." Then we don't have confidence that God is driving. Amen. And so that's what makes us so shaky.
Man.
It would be better for us. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it would. Maybe it would not be better for somebody to be behind control. Huh? Oh my God! And they wanted to kill the process fields and the open theists for teaching that there are some forces out there that God didn't have a handle on yet.
Right. Right.
But what is the foundation of such teaching goes back to syllogism.
Man.
And God's doing a part, and you're doing a part, and you have to put your part with God's part to make the thing work.
Man.
So now you got a hybrid situation there. It's running on gas for a while, and then it runs on electricity for a while. You know, God's guided it for a while, but now I've got to take over.
Yeah. Oh, Pastor, three.
Huh?
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
That's it. Amen.
We're living in illusions.
Come on.
And an illusion is a lie.
It is.
Man.
Ella Nicholson and everyone else, let's turn to that passage. What passage did I call?
Ephesians 4:1.
Everybody turn to it. Ephesians 4:1.
Thank
God. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
King James.
First from the King James, and then let's go to the Greek.
King James Version,
mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4:1.
Mm-hmm.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called.
Oh, let's go to the Greek.
Beseech therefore you.
No, give them chance, those that got to get there. You know. Now over in Romans 8, it tells us we were called. Mm-hmm. Now here it says you are called. Mm-hmm. Well, you are because of what? You were. Doesn't that give it more strength?
Yes.
Man.
You are because you were.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Read that slowly.
Beseech therefore you, I, the prisoner in Lord,
mm-hmm.
worthily.
Mm-hmm. 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 Notice that. The prisoner
in.
That is Absalom me.
Mm-hmm.
In.
Yeah.
As a locative.
Amen.
I'm a prisoner. But I'm in the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm locked in the Lord.
Right.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Here we're talking about security.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Oh, Jesus.
Most people are locked up for the purpose that they'll not be able to get out.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank God I'm locked up in the Lord.
Man.
Yes.
Prisoner.
Man.
Thesmios. Thesmios. It's translated prisoner. Slave. Bond slave. Blob slave.
Man.
And most time when people, not most time, anytime anyone is in prison, someone else has imprisoned them.
Amen.
Hmm?
Amen.
You didn't put yourself in, so you didn't got to worry about, oh my, y'all don't hear me this morning.
I hear you.
Yes, sir.
The bonds of love have imprisoned me in Christ.
Yes.
In the Lord. I'm in and I can't get out. I'm in and I don't want to get out. And so I'm secure. I'm safe. We sing songs that we really don't believe it. We sing, What a fellowship, what a joy. Lean on the everlasting. And no. You're not. No, you're not. Safe and secure. Most of God's people don't feel safe.
Nope.
We said we're saved, but we don't feel safe.
I hear you.
We don't.
I hear you.
When the winds of life blow and the storms of life raise, we don't feel safe.
I hear you.
Thank God. The actuality of it is not based on our feelings.
Man.
You're secure whether you feel secure or not.
Come on.
Man.
That's what saved means. Saved means safe.
Man.
Hallelujah.
Salvation means security.
Yes.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ means you're untouchable. No. That don't mean I can't get sick. You can get sick. You can die.
Oh, Jesus.
But that, what does it have to do with you being in Christ?
Come on here. Hallelujah.
Paul said, absent from the body, what?
Present with the Lord.
In Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm.
God's people suffer what we call mishaps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God's people get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God's people get in automobile accidents.
Mm-hmm.
God's people lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, we do, don't we?
Oh, man.
God's people, some of these foreclosures, you know, God's people lose their homes.
Man.
Well, you must have been doing something wrong. That's crazy. That's that Job mentality.
Yeah.
Job's friends.
Yeah.
Huh? Thank God when we look at that, amen, from what has been revealed in the scriptures, that Job didn't do anything, yet he was the praise that's in the rest of us, you know what I mean? See, if it was based upon what you did or didn't do, amen, we'd all be knocked off.
Amen.
We'd all be dead.
Amen.
If God was in the retaliating business.
Amen.
So it tells us that one day the devil came, not day, we're using anthropomorphic terms, the devil come before Lord, and he said, "Now, what have you been doing, fella? You walk up and down the earth." He said, "Okay,
mm-hmm.
Have you considered my servant Job? Who brought up Job?
God.
That wasn't thinking about Job.
Man.
He said, "Oh yeah." Well, he said, "Hey, he's serving you because you give him everything."
I hear you.
So here, the devil, amen, is speaking to God, so he's not trying to pull no game on God. But so, he said, who gave Job everything?
God
did.
God.
He said, and if you take it away, which means the devil is acknowledging what?
Mm-hmm.
If that thing get taken away from Job, only you can take it away.
Right.
I hear you.
Come on here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we said, I lost my job. That wasn't God. That was the devil.
Oh, for
Job lost all of his goods, and he lost his
Man.
Children, and then he lost his health.
Yes,
who took those things from him?
God did.
The scripture teaches us.
Mm-hmm.
And then God said to the devil, what? You can't take what?
His life.
You can't take his physical life.
That's right.
I mean, not in that instance, because everybody here, I think everybody here, we'll be able to consensus that Job is dead now.
Crazy.
So it's God.
That's it.
It's God. We got to learn to put our full trust in Him. Not to do what we want, but to do what He wants.
Man.
Then we won't be frustrated all the time. We're just so frustrated. Well, you know what? We don't fare any better than the world, than those who don't know the Lord.
Amen.
God, people walking around all for long. And depressed.
Yep. Man.
Gotta go to the doctor, take some Valium or something for your depression, some medicine for depression. God help us. Now, that's where you are. Then, of course, I guess it's there for you. But what we're trying to say, and we're not trying to put anybody down, but what we're saying is, my God, let us begin to look up and look in Him and know who we are.
Amen.
Yes.
No. This doesn't mean that God's going to bring you out every time. You know, we've been partial to think that everything we get in, God's got to get us out of it.
Well,
you know, like the three Hebrew boys in the fire furnace? Huh? God showed up, right?
Yes.
Daniel?
Yep.
And Elijah did?
Yep.
God showed up, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, he shows up in your case, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like his decree to pull you out of there.
Come on here.
I hear you.
Yes.
In fact, you better off than them, because even while you're in that situation, even more than being in that situation, you are in Christ.
Yes, Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
Finish reading that. Oh, my God. Look at that clock. I'm on. Give me 10 minutes and I'm going to bail out.
In the Lord worthily to walk of the calling of which you were called.
You were called. Here we have the aorist tense.
Yes, we do.
And of course, the translation said you are called, because they want to deal with were called, because when you say were called, the next question is when.
Amen.
When were you called? Romans 8, amen. Those whom he what?
Foreknew.
I mean, this Old Testament stuff. David said he knew me, or foreknew me before I was formed in the womb of my mother's belly.
Yes. Yes.
In cooperation.
Yes, amen.
He foreordained.
Thank God.
That word is broken down. Pro-orizo. Pro means before. Orizo means to set the boundaries, which means he set the boundaries before.
Oh,
man.
What boundaries? Your entire course of life.
I hear you.
There are no mistakes in God.
I hear you.
Thank God.
Sometimes we come and we hear, Lord, what is this? Of course, sometimes we think that he probably says, well, I don't know.
Have mercy.
You know, some will think God is just as surprised as we are when things go down, you know. And don't listen to that nonsense of somebody come with, God had nothing to do with God. He did that. That's the craziest thing. So now you're going to impugn his omniscience. God didn't know nothing about it. Also, you're impugning his omnipotence.
I hear you.
That's right. That's right.
So you impugn his omniscience and his omnipotence because you are afraid that you're going to infringe upon his integrity. No!
I hear you.
But that's because you don't understand sovereignty.
Yeah.
God has a right to do what he wants, when he wants, to who he wants, oh my God, how he wants, when he wants. Lord, what is this? You better learn to say thank you, Jesus.
I hear you.
Huh? I can't say that. I just lost my job. Yes, you can.
Man.
Because what he has done for you transcends that job.
I hear
Sooner
you.
Or later, you're going to lose that job anyway.
I hear you.
So what you talking about? Eventually, you will retire. If you don't get fired, you're going to retire. If you don't get terminated, you're going to retire.
Amen.
Right.
Sooner or later. What person that was working in 1820 is still working?
I hear you.
Amber.
Lord Jesus. Lord.
God help us to think.
Man.
Think. God help us. You were called. You were called in eternity. Those that he foreknew, he foreordained. He set the limits.
Yeah.
Those that he foreordained, he called.
Oh, that's right. Amen.
Come on.
Here you have an indicative aorist.
Yeah,
indicative mood is what?
Back.
The aorist tip is what?
Completed
a completed action. So here you have a completed action of having been called.
Yeah.
When were you called? Mm-hmm. In eternity. Mm-hmm. When he chose you, he called you. I mean, how can he choose you and not call you? The choosing is the calling.
That's it.
So one day I was in sin. Lord says, you were never in jeopardy.
Never.
Not in the true essence
never.
Of the fact.
Never.
It wasn't manifested to you.
There you go.
The day that you were saved, so-called saved, amen, is the day you came to the manifested knowledge of your salvation. Amen. But you were his from the beginning.
I hear you.
Hallelujah.
Then we walk around here afraid. And the reason we're so shaky about life is because we're shaky about salvation.
Yeah,
I hear you.
And this is why we start with salvation in nations.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Glory to God.
Those that he called, he did what? He justified.
Man.
Justified.
When did he justify you?
Mm-hmm.
In eternity. Mm-hmm. When he chose you. If he didn't justify you, what did he choose you for?
Amherst.
Again, you have what? You have an indicative
aorist.
So it is a completed fact that he justified you.
Man.
What you worried about losing salvation? That's why we so worried about losing our life. Because, amen, what's that song? What's that song they used to sing? It's too hard living, but I'm afraid to die because I don't know what's up there but you're up in the sky.
Oh, man. That's right.
I hear you.
But if we get justification right,
no,
we're not so afraid of dying.
I hear you.
If you're not afraid of dying, then you're not afraid of losing your job.
I hear you.
Or losing your health.
I hear you.
Oh, my God.
I hear you.
Thank God. Glory to God.
This is the clincher.
Come on.
Nah.
That should settle the question.
Yeah.
Those whom he justified, he did what? He glorified. Here again, you have an indicative aorist.
Man.
You, what is the indicative word again? Fact. What is the aorist tips? So here you have a completed fact of being glorified. No. If I look at you, no, and absolutely if you look at me, you don't see no glorified body. But just because that thing has manifested, that doesn't mean it's not real.
I hear you.
Glorification is an eternal object.
I hear you.
An eternal entity.
Yeah.
An actual entity.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just waiting to be manifested into an actual occasion.
Yeah.
But it's real now.
Now.
How many of you know it's real now?
Man.
Huh?
Right now.
Man.
Right now.
Right now.
I'm going to finish this paragraph and then, oh my God, time always. Whew.
Hallelujah.
One of these days y'all let me preach for about 3 or 4 hours. Eh?
Man.
I love the look on your faces when I say that.
Glory to God.
In the middle of the paragraph, the study of probabilities engender the logical relation between statements such that evidence confirming one confirms the other to some degree. That's the way humans think. Scripture analyzation of the quantitative aspects of probabilities invariably, and we'll be talking about this in the conference, invariably induces scrutiny in the distinguishing of component parts from a different perspective, namely analyzing the cognitive aspects of such, they're herein categorized twofold as we close for the day. The first category of the cognitive meaning of probability is that it essentially reflects the amount of information available about possible events. But the second probability's cognitive aspect category is what the significance of the authentication of probability essentially is. And this is where we'll take off next week. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. God help us to not live in the illusionary world of floating out just out there. Amen. Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, amen, and we don't know in detail, but we know the essence that transcends everything. But we should be, amen, secure in Christ.
Amen.
Huh? We, oh man, my God, should feel of the essence of safety. My God, yes, from all alarms. Even death. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Paul stated on one occasion, I'm persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the love of God. That was the bottom line with them. Oh my God. That probability of that happening was a foregone conclusion that such could not manifest. And he began to name things, oh my God, that could come against him. A whole litany of things. He even went to the depth and the breadth, the height. He named a complete list of things, and then he ran out of things. Oh my God, and then when he ran out of things, he put the qualifying statement in there. Now any other creation, I know the King James said creature, that word Christus is creation. Now any other creation can separate me from the love of God. Oh my God, as long as I am in him, and we just read this morning that you are a prisoner, amen, which means you can't get out. Thank God I can't get out. And so troubles and problems and situations cannot come and overrule that which God has done.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And so next time you sing the song,
come on.
Amen. Without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I would fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Oh, I'm so glad that my anchor is in him. Everybody say in him. I better quit. We'll take it up next week.